everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host again for this week, and I am joined once again by my co-host, nationally recognized speaker, Mr. Bart Christian, and a very special guest. This week, we have Josh Segan on the show with us from True Food. Goodness gracious. It is clearly Friday. I need a break, just like I'm sure all of you do out there hardworking in the kitchens each and every day. Now, I'm very excited to have Josh with us this week. Josh is the director of people over at True Food Kitchen. Now, he is a graduate of Johnson & Wales University and has held many positions inside the food service industry, notably some that include working with the Hillstone Restaurant Group and Jean George Restaurant in Manhattan. Now, after spending most of his career in the restaurant operations industry, Josh has transitioned to the human resources department at True Food Kitchen. If you haven't heard of True Food, you're really missing out. And I would encourage you to absolutely go and Google it. In fact, my wife and I have to recreate a couple of dishes from True Food at our house during the pandemic here recently because they are that amazing. So if you haven't eaten at a True Food Kitchen restaurant, I highly encourage you to look them up and absolutely go and check them out as soon as they open again in your area. Now, without further ado, I want to introduce both of our very special guests, Mr. Bart Christian and Josh Segan. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How's everything going?
Hey, very good, Wes. Thank you so much for the introduction. Certainly appreciate you inviting us to partake in this discussion, and excited to be here for sure today.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Wes. And I got to say this, Wes. You're always so eloquent, and that is the most consecutive string of tongue ties I've ever seen come from you.
Well, okay, so what you don't understand or what a lot of people might not know is that my life is crazy right now. We just found out that my wife is pregnant again with our second child.
Thank you.
Not only is she pregnant again, though, it's another boy. So my life is just going to get even more chaotic and crazy. And our one child whose name is Clayton, is 22 months old and is literally Tasmanian devil. He is on this side of that room one minute and on the other side the next. So he definitely wears us out. So it's good to be here on Friday and have a long weekend ahead of us.
Well, he gets that Tasmanian devil stuff, honestly. So, I remember a little Tasmanian devil myself. Josh, before we get into this, I got to ask you a question. You know, I spent the better part of 10 years working in the back end of restaurants as a vendor for high-end restaurants in the Atlanta area. 5 stars, very nice. And I know you have a very interesting background in probably two of the most competitive food service markets in the world, and that's New York City and Miami. You've experienced working at a Michelin restaurant, which is quite a feat and an honor. And tell us a little bit about what it was like to work in that type of, I'm sure, high pressure environment and very competitive markets. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. I think a good way to describe it is certainly high pressure for sure. And, you know, I think that in those environments, you're really only as good as your last review. And, I was fortunate to work alongside, one of the most talented chefs in the world, Jean George. And we actually, when I worked for the Mercer Kitchen in New York, we were right across the street from the corporate office. And so every day, Jean George would come in for breakfast and we'd have an opportunity to have some one-on-one time and certainly speak. And that environment is certainly very competitive, especially in an environment like New York. And I think it's one of the reasons why I think I was able to, grow my career very quickly. And, I'm in Arizona, which is a much different environment, I would say. But, part of my heart's definitely in New York still, for sure.
Now, obviously, we're in a very different climate than what you were working in Manhattan, especially a few years ago with everything that's going on and the current situation with COVID-19. What type of things are you guys doing at True Foods to kind of be prepared for reopenings as we look forward to that in the next couple of weeks?
For sure. It's a great question. And I think really what's just as important to think through is kind of how we got to what we're doing right now. And when we first started going through a lot of the COVID kind of phasing, we made the decision as a brand to shut down our restaurants. And this was March 18th. I'll remember it for the rest of my life for sure. And was certainly not an easy decision to make, but one that we felt was necessary because we really wanted to make the right decision. And still, even I think there's a lot of gray in what we're doing. And as an industry, I think we're trying to do the best we can with the information that we have. But one thing that was really important to us was that we wanted to take a step back and say, all right, let's close our restaurants for the moment, but know that we're going to look at our service model. We're going to look at what we can do to protect our guests and our team members when they report back to work. And what are some things that we need to do to adjust? And so it really took us a good 2 weeks to think through our service model and think through some of the things that we're doing right now. And that continues to evolve as well. I think that you have to be comfortable in this environment with adjusting and constantly changing what you're doing to make sure you're staying current and doing everything you can to protect anyone that walks in your building. So, one thing that we thought through initially was kind of recreating our service model. So still wanting to make sure that we are, focused on hospitality and providing great food for our guests, but also kind of focused on the social distancing aspect of what CDC and local health recommendations were, or health department regulations were. So, and one thing that we looked at was, how can we create that social distancing within our restaurants? And so, the obvious piece being, hey, you can, create 6 feet of distance between your tables to start. But even taking a step further, we wanted to make sure that we were limiting the interaction between our servers and our guests as well. And so we created a process where we were able to have guests write down their orders on the menus, have our servers come collect the orders, make sure they're reviewing any requests or allergy accommodations, and really minimizing that initial contact. So we're prior, our servers would spend the first 3 minutes, going through our menu, explaining who we are. And we've taken a step away from that for a little bit just to make sure that we're, really protecting our guests and our team members, but also making sure that people feel comfortable in our environments as well, which is super important.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you mentioned kind of separating people and social distancing, I instantly think back to my days working in a kitchen. And one of the tightest quarter areas is the actual kitchen where food is being produced and manufactured. What are you doing in terms of that area to make sure that your employees are maintaining a safe distance from each other and practicing social distancing?
For sure. And I think, when you look at the front of house in our restaurants and you look at even the prep spaces, we're fairly fortunate to have pretty large areas in those departments. But where I think we have the biggest challenge is certainly what you'd consider to be the line. And so from grill to saute to wok to even our pantry cooks, it's certainly difficult to create that 6 feet of distance. And so, we've done everything we can to create as much space as possible. But what's important to us too is we want to focus on some of the other things that we can control and some of the other things that we can do to even take it a step further. And so, we look at all of our team members are required to wear masks when they report to work and they come to our restaurants. Our back of house, everyone's wearing gloves. Really what the CDC is saying right now is that close contact would be anyone that spends more than 15 minutes within 6 feet of distance. So we really try to limit those instances as much as we possibly can in every instance. And I think really what we're able to do right now is since we're operating on a smaller team, even our line positions, are able to maintain that distance and maintain at least distance as much as possible. So.
Now, what type of things are you all planning on doing as far as temperature checks or, is there anything as far as guests are concerned or maybe employees safety? I mean, I've read several articles about different organizations and various different states that are implementing some very extreme standards and procedures. What's True Food's response to some of the new things that are being talked about in the industry?
For sure. And that's a great question, too. And I think really what we want to focus on as a brand is making sure that we can always say that we're following CDC and local health department regulations as well, or recommendations. And so every decision we make is focused on that piece. And so what we wanted to do in the essence of keeping our team and our guests safe is we're really instituting a zero tolerance policy for any team member reporting to work sick. And so we've encouraged all of our team members, even if they have a simple cold, if they have a sore throat, a cough, anything, that they should not report to work. And so I think where, we may have been a little bit more stringent with our attendance policies, we definitely laxed a little bit to make sure that our teams feel comfortable to take that time that they need to focus on themselves and certainly focus on their health. And so in that, that being kind of our first step, we've actually instituted a wellness check. And so before our team members report to work, they're asked to complete a wellness check, which just basically asks three questions. And the first question being, have our team members come into contact with anyone that's COVID positive? Are they experiencing any COVID-related symptoms? And have they been tested positive for COVID? And so if the answer is no to all of those questions, they're able to report to work. We're also asking them to take their temperatures before they report to work as well, just as an over precaution. Although the CDC and health department have said in many cases that not all people that are COVID positive experience fever, but again, it's just one more piece of precaution that we can put in place. And when they come to clock in for their shift, they answer a simple question that's on our POS that just says, have you completed your wellness check today? And so I think that our team's constantly talking through that and just asking themselves those questions, I think limit a lot of the potential for people to come to work sick.
I may have missed you saying this, but did you state how that wellness check is being performed? Is that a written documentation, a text message, something that's on your website?
So we didn't want to create unnecessary documentation. And so what we ended up doing is we actually ask our team members to create or to complete this this process before they come into work. And then when they come into work, they actually answer a question on the POS that says that I've completed my wellness check today. And so it's just kind of we want to make sure that people are following through and that there's always that constant reminder. But I think when it comes to, looking at different HIPAA violations or laws, there's a lot of regulations around protecting that information if you choose to document it. And so for us, we want to make sure that we're sending that constant reminder to our team, but we also want to make sure that we're not creating unnecessary documentation either. So I was going to say in extension to that as well, we are recommending our teams to take temperature checks as well when our employees come into the restaurant. And so what we do in that case, if, 99% of the time, and really actually 100% of the time so far, we've had team members come to work and they've tested or their temperature has been under 100.4 degrees, which is what CDC is saying constitutes a fever, anything above 100.4. And so what we want to do if anyone tests above that, is certainly make sure that we're protecting their confidentiality. And so we're not having team members line up at the beginning of shift to take their temperature. It's just more as people come in and it's recommended. It's not something that we're strictly enforcing or making it mandatory, but for many of our team members, it's almost been kind of this comfort that we're taking this extra step to make sure that we're keeping them safe. And so we certainly haven't had any pushback in terms of us taking temperatures either at this point. So,
Many health departments have implemented, in years past a policy that says, now, if an employee sees another employee sick, they should say in Maricopa County, where you're based out of in Phoenix, has a booklet on that about foodborne illness. And if you see somebody that looks sick or have signs of jaundice or things like that, that it's your responsibility as a fellow employee to let somebody know that. Do you see that being something that we'll start seeing with COVID, that if people see people that they feel like are demonstrating symptoms, after they've already passed the wellness check, you see people kind of, that being something that you implement, or, I can see something, say something kind of policy?
For sure. And I think it's an excellent point. And really what I think through in that instance is you have team members that have, in some cases, been out of work for a couple months now. And so it's hard to tell someone that they have to stay at home if they're experiencing any symptoms. But we know that it's necessary to make sure that we're keeping our team safe. And certainly to take every precaution to keep everyone safe. And so I imagine that as we go through, the next few months that we're going to have team members that are really trying to push through and thinking that they just have maybe a common cold or a sore throat or something that is seemingly not a big deal. But we certainly know that it is, given that could be one of the first signs of COVID in some cases. And so I do think that our teams will continue to probably monitor each other. But we hope that our team members and even our guests too will certainly know that it's their responsibility in this case to make sure that we're doing our best to keep everyone safe. So we hope that they'll continue to self-monitor as well.
Now, as you see your team come back to work, especially those that have been, you know, out for the past couple of weeks, months, maybe, are the enhanced unemployment benefits, is that a concern for you? Is that something that you've seen that is going to affect maybe reopenings in certain areas? What's your experience with that so far?
For sure. And, you know, first and foremost, I'm really happy that I think our government has been able to provide this extended benefit to many of our team members who, again, have maybe missed a month to 2 months of work at this point. And so I feel like that benefit, if used the right way, is a good benefit. I'm certain that, in some cases that people have different, risk tolerance levels. And so me being, a married guy, no kids, just a dog at home, families on the East Coast, I think that my risk level might be a little bit more tolerant than others. But we have individuals who have elderly parents, or they have, children, or maybe health conditions of their own that they have to monitor for. And so what my fear is that, without those benefits, that they would be forced to come back to work sooner than they're ready or comfortably able to come back to work. And so I definitely want our team members to feel comfortable when they're ready to come back to work. But I do imagine that those benefits will probably delay some people from wanting to come back right away. And so that being said, we've in some cases been forced to look at external hires as well and kind of work through that process. Our restaurants they actually opened up a little bit busier than we anticipated, and thinking through, some of our markets thinking they might open up at 25%. Some of them have gone to 50% right off the bat. And so, kind of working through some of the staffing challenges is part of our new normal to some extent. And, I think that will subside, I think, especially towards the end of, this month. I feel like even in June in particular, we've seen a lot of our team members start to come back a little bit more willingly. And I think it's partly because we put these safety practices in place that they feel comfortable to come back to. And so I think as we move into July and August, I think people are going to be eager to come back to work. Fingers crossed. So.
Maybe a sidebar question is that, these people, and I agree with you 100%. I agree that the benefits are a great thing. And I agree that there are people that it has saved their lives in so many ways. But I've heard from a few of my friends in the food service business that have said that they're actually these employees that they're having a little trouble bringing back, that they're being forced to replace them. Because there are people that want to work now and want to come back to work, and their fear is that they've got some people that were really valuable team members that are going to maybe drag their feet a little bit in coming back, that may find themselves not having the job at the place they were before. Do you see? I mean, I'm not trying to ask you a difficult question, but I think that's kind of real world and looking at the food service business and the way it kind of is.
For sure, and that's really important to think through. And if we look at operations right now as they are, most of our restaurants are operating between 25 and 50%. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, we may, by the end of this year, get back to 60, maybe 80%. But I think we're going to be operating at a limited capacity for some time now. And, we look at some of the teams that I think have struggled to bring people back. And we've given our team members almost an option of when they'd like to return. So it's, hey, I'd like to return immediately. Hey, I'd like to return back sometime in June. Hey, I'd like to return back sometime after June. And so we actually sent out a survey to our team members to kind of gauge when people were comfortable with coming back. And many of our team members had responded saying that they were looking to come back sometime after June. In my heart, I want to make sure that we're keeping a space for all of our team members that were with us. And as we continue to hire and bring back people and maybe even hire externally, I know that we're not going to have enough space. In some cases, if we're forced to hire externally. And so, we're certainly encouraging our team members to come back if they can. And we're just hoping that as we kind of work through the next phase that, we'll continue to get busier and we'll be able to bring more people back, which would include our team members that are currently not at work right now. So I hope that helps answer your question a little bit. So
I think that's what I'm seeing in a lot of places is that combination, as I'm talking to restaurateurs around to the Tucson area, that's what the exact same question. They're wanting their team to come back. They love their people. But the reality is that in some cases where they're getting a little bit busier than they thought and they can't bring and then they don't have their team quite willing to come back yet, they're being forced to hire externally. And that's not what they want to do. But that's kind of the position they're finding themselves in.
Agreed.
Josh, it sounds like you guys have done a really good job with communicating with your staff throughout the pandemic. and obviously letting them know about a lot of the new implementations that you guys are doing with changes from a safety standpoint. What's been that mode of communication, and what have you guys found to be successful? You guys obviously have a very large organization, so I would imagine making individual phone calls would not be a very useful, you know, a matter of time. So is it all email correspondence? You guys have a platform that you're using? How do you communicate with this very large number of employees you have?
For sure. It's funny. If you asked me that question, a month ago, I probably would have said that we did a great job communicating and making sure we get to everyone. And you know, in hindsight, I think that there were probably some opportunities in the way that we communicated, especially to the hourly level. And so a lot of our communications went directly to our managers, which then were passed down to our hourly team members. And I feel like at the very beginning of our shutdown in March, our communications were spot on. And I think as we've worked through, I think the last few months, I think that, you know, we were certainly distracted with, reopening and getting our teams back to work. And I think that for some of the people that have still or that are still out of work and have been out for some time, I think that we could have done a better job communicating with those individuals and providing them at least with information as to, you know, what we were doing to reopen, how we were planning on keeping them and our guests safe. And I think that we knew those conversations were happening when people came back to our restaurants, but they weren't necessarily happening with the people that were out of the restaurants. And so, in hindsight, that's something that we probably could have changed and done a little bit better. And I definitely own that piece. I think that with our brand right now, and it's funny that you mentioned that we're a large organization and we're kind of in this like awkward teenage phase of being a large company and being a small group. With 33 restaurants open right now, or 34 actually with our Las Vegas location, I think that we have a lot of resources, but we don't have quite the number of resources that, a restaurant group like Darden would have. And so I think that we find ourselves sometimes challenged with having enough bodies to get things done. But we do have, good resources. One of those resources being we use an LMS called Wisetail. And so that's typically our platform communicating with our hourly team members. And then we use Hot Schedules as well. And so between those two platforms and email communication, we've tried to really get as much communication out to our management team members, to our hourly team members as possible. Now we're kind of at the stage of, we're almost to a point where we're, getting ready to bring as many team members back as possible. And it's, working through, surveys to see who's comfortable coming back at this point. Working through other communications with our managers to make sure that they know what the protocols are for, when it comes to safety protocols or, response protocols to COVID. So all those pieces are all important right now for us, for sure.
We have a large number of our customers on the food handler solution side work in the school nutrition industry. And one of the big concerns that we've heard in the school side of things is handling group trainings to start the year off. Many school districts across the country do professional development days and things of that nature. Now, I don't know if you do any group style trainings at True Food, but how are you planning on addressing training with your staff? Obviously, you've got different shifts of people that are coming in. You've got people that are, going to be working at, different hours for maybe your training folks that are going to be on staff. How do you handle getting this new information out to them and making sure that they're actually completing it?
For sure. And I think that, we're pretty fortunate to have a great group of team members, both in our leadership team, our regional team, and then our in-house manager team in each of the restaurants as well. But I think for us, and one thing that we really have to look at as a brand is how we train long-term now. And I think that, while I'm hesitant to say this is our new normal, I think it's our new reality at this point. Mm-hmm. One thing we had worked on pre-COVID is we were actually looking to create regional training stores. So really focus our training efforts into one store where we knew that we could send all of our management team to train, get consistent training. And that might not be possible at this point. And it might not be possible for some time now. So I think we've been really forced to think through a lot of our training efforts and how we can create a really strong training program that we can trust our team members to follow through with in store as well. And not just for our managers, but for our hourly team members too. And so I think part of that is, structuring the way that you communicate with your teams. We're definitely a group that likes to send out a lot of communications. And so sometimes if you send out too many communications, things get lost in the mix. And so we've really tried to strategize how we introduce things. And so we've come up with a weekly communication that we send out to our teams. We call it True Nation News. And so that kind of is our week to get, or our day really to get the information that we want to get to the teams. So they have a week to digest it, talk about it with their teams, and kind of work through that process. I think for other training efforts too, I think that having daily conversations, especially around safety protocols, is critically important. And so when it comes to, maintaining safety protocols, having daily lineups with your team to talk through what our current protocol is and talking about, hey, reinforcing mask wearing, especially during, times where maybe employees are taking breaks. And that was kind of a weak point for us too, where it's like, you can have the best safety protocols in the world, and then your team goes to sit down, they take their mask off, they have lunch, but they're not practicing social distancing. Right. And so, thinking through those points and making sure that we're having those pointed conversations with our team members to, make sure that we're just creating that awareness and continuing to maintain that focus is important. I think for, other training, I think one thing that we've thought through is like, hey, if we hire, an external hire, so you have someone that doesn't understand our brand, that is coming in brand new, we almost need to, we're reverting back to our training efforts that we had in place prior to COVID. But we also have to make sure that we keep in mind that they don't know any of our safety protocols too. And that stuff's not in our former training, at least COVID related. So kind of working that back into the training too is important, and just thinking through those things. It's definitely a lot of moving parts for sure. And I think it's something that we're still kind of trying to figure out, day by day for sure.
How are you communicating that? I mean, it sounds like you've got a plan, and I think a lot of people, that's the kind of work that's kind of everything's fluid right now to a certain degree. And how are you communicating that to your customers? You've got this plan, you're doing these things. How are you communicating that to your customers when they walk in the door or when they come to the door, that you all are doing these things? How do they know?
I do think that a lot of how we're managing COVID right now is related to how you manage perception. Mm-hmm. And so you can, again, have all the safety protocols in place, but if a guest walks in and the first teamer they see doesn't have a mask on, I think you lose all credibility. And so really what we try to do from the moment our guests walk in is really set the stage. And even more so, I used to tell everyone that they're on stage when they serve. Or when our guests walk in the building, and that's even more true now. And so when our guests walk in, we're looking at, really what does the guest see first? And they're going to see, hey, our tables are all spaced out 6 feet apart. And between every table, there's a sanitizing station. They're going to see all of our team members wearing masks. We're hoping that our guests see our team members. We have this thing called the 30-minute drill. And so every 30 minutes, our team members, both front and back of house, go to wash their hands. They change their gloves out. We go to wipe down any high traffic areas. So like door handles, workstations. So all of those things, the guests are seeing those things every time they walk into our building. And so we're hoping that that's how we communicate to the guests what we're doing. It is really just, we're communicating through our actions. I think we have sent out some communications, through our social sites and, through our website and stuff too. But, for me, it's especially now, it's so important that you set that stage for the guests when they walk in the restaurant.
Now, in the last couple of minutes here, just kind of in closing, I'd love to know about some of the motivational strategies that you're planning on implementing with maybe not, like you said, this new normal, but the new reality for a little while. Because obviously people, especially employees of yours, are going to be walking into a very different working environment for at least the short term. What type of strategies are you planning on implementing from a personal standpoint, or maybe from an organizational standpoint, to really keep your employees engaged and connected with each other in this age of social distancing?
For sure. I think that really right now, I think what we're looking at and what I think can be the biggest driver in engagement is communication. And that's definitely something we've learned over the last couple months. And even if you think you have the best communication in the world, it can still improve. And so we really want to work through, I think, how our leadership team and how our we call it True Central, it's our home office, communicates down to the field and making sure that our team feels like they're part of some of these decisions, that they feel like their voice is being heard. And if there's any concerns, we're working through those things. And, in every instance, in conversations I've had with team members, I feel like right now they feel comfortable and they feel like we're listening and we're really putting their safety first. And we hope that's translating to our guests as well. And so I think that really for me, it's over the next, few months, we really want to make sure that we're focused on communication with our team and really creating great practices, great training. It's streamlined, it's efficient, It's easily digestible. It's something that we're constantly talking about. Because again, it's really easy to take your foot off the pedal and lose ground. And I think that you just have to continue that conversation, keep pushing forward. And you know, the good news is that no one has the perfect answer right now. No one has a clear path forward. And so really all we can do right now is do the best we can with the information that we have. And again, it goes back to just making sure that we're following and staying true to, you know, I think what guidance we're being given from, you know, the professionals, so that, you know, the CDC, local health departments. And if we continue to follow those things, I think it gives us some sense of comfort that we're doing everything we can to protect our team members and our guests, which is important to us for sure.
Can I kind of chase a rabbit for a minute?
Sure.
I was asking this, you know, talking about opportunities and things that are happening in this new kind of reality that we're dealing with. Now, my wife and I went out to a restaurant down here in Tucson not too very long ago, practicing social distancing. Everything was as it should be in the restaurant. But also noticed they had a big rack on the side of the right beside the front door. They had a tremendous amount of to-go orders. You know, they said that they're, I asked the manager, I talked to the manager, I said, how's your business? He said, to be honest with you, he said, it's very, very good. He said, my bar business is not that great. He said, but our food business has been excellent because we've not only got, now we've got people coming in, but people are, our takeout business has picked up. Do you see that kind of being the new, is that going to be something that's going to stick with us for a while? And how is that going for you guys?
Sure. And I think one thing that we're really fortunate with is that, you know, I think over the last couple of years, we've actually been focusing on our takeout. And so I think we've been able to build a really strong clientele when it comes to takeout and delivery service as well. Mm-hmm. I think where restaurants are going to struggle is if they don't have that behind them. Because I think that more so than ever, you know, our consumer is looking to support convenience, takeout, all of these things that, you know, I think are really becoming important to our culture right now. So, you know, And my wife hates me for this, but I am not personally a big takeout fan myself. I feel like you go into a restaurant, the food is always better when you're sitting down, when you have great service and you're experiencing the environment. You know, but I think I might be you know, probably one of the few that feel that way in some cases. And so, I love that. And I think that for a lot of cases, and maybe this isn't for every case, but a lot of people feel, you know, at some point that they want quick, convenient service that's consistent. And so I think one of the challenges that we're really going to face this year and going into next year even too is how do we build that consistency? How do we give consistent service, consistent food quality, whether it be takeout or in the restaurant? And I think that those who can figure that piece out will continue to strive in takeout and will continue to grow business. And I think that the people that maybe struggle there are going to have a hard time. So, but takeout will continue to grow. I think that quick service will continue to grow. And it's just, I think, the nature of our culture right now, people wanting kind of that fast, efficient service. So
I got to tell you something. My wife and I, since we've all been kind of released here in Arizona to a degree in the last few weeks, we've been out to dinner about 6 times in the last 3 weeks. And one of the things we've noticed very interesting in every restaurant we've been to is that the portion sizes are much bigger. And I started asking people about that. I had 2 managers tell me this. They said, we're just so damned happy to see people here that we want them to come.
I love that.
Because I asked them, I said, man, y'all were giving us so much more food. And that was their answer. And I just think that's, you know, it's great to see them. There's so much opportunity if we'll just kind of look at it in the right way, I think.
I agree. And you know, I think that right now, our guests are extremely patient with us and have been. You know, I think they have the same expectations still, which is the challenge. But I think people intrinsically know what we're kind of going through. And so I think that people have definitely been a little bit more patient with us and understanding. And our service right now, as we've kind of worked through this new service model, hasn't been perfect. You know, we've definitely hit some bumps in the road. And luckily, I think that we have great team members that really focus on hospitality. I think that sometimes can overcome some service challenges. But really, I think right now, if you look at a lot of the stuff that's going on, whether it be, you know, guests walking in and looking at your safety protocols or you know, really thinking about your service, you know, you really have one chance to get it right. And I feel like right now, if a guest comes in and they don't have that perfect experience or they don't feel comfortable in your environment because you're not following certain safety protocols, they're going to go on to the next place. And so really, we're doing everything we can to protect the support of our guests. And so I think that You know, it's just so important to just really focus on that consistency, and but also stay true to who you are. You don't have to change, you know, your brand to be successful during this time. I think that you just have to, I think, adapt and make some small changes that, you know, I think can maybe help sustain this period of time until we get to what will be our normal moving forward. So, but.
Absolutely. Well, Josh, Bart, any last closing words for either of you?
I can't add anything to what Josh just said. I think that was a great ending to the, I mean, just stay true to who you are and don't give up and don't let up on what you're doing. I just think that's great, Josh.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I think we've all taken a few punches, I think, throughout this, you know, last few months, but I think that the brands and the businesses that I think push through that and, you know that, hey, this is not going to be perfect and we're going to make it through this. We'll be the people that make it through it for sure. So,
well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the show. I very much appreciate both of your time. I wish you both the best and I hope to talk with you both very soon again. Well, this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. Thank you all for joining in once again, and we will see you all next week at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Take care.